Welcome to Season 3 of The Commons, a podcast featuring researchers, innovators, artists, entrepreneurs, and community builders who are improving the human condition in your own backyard and around the globe. I'm your host, Tom Osha. If you've listened to any episode of this podcast, you do know we focus a lot on innovation districts, the spatial geographies where talent and ideas come to cluster and connect. The Association of University Research Parks is a member-driven organization, and it counts among its membership research parks and innovation districts across the globe who have as their anchor research universities and academic medical centers. This robust organization of several hundred districts comes together once a year in a different city around the world to exchange ideas and best practices in the industry. This year, they're in Toronto, Canada for the 2022 International Conference. They were kind enough to invite the Commons to come and speak with some of their members. So our first episodes of Season 3 will be interviews with park leaders from around the world. I hope you enjoy. I'm Tom Osha, and welcome to The Commons, coming to you live from the International Conference at AURP, the Association of University Research Parks, held this year in Toronto, Canada. And my guest this morning is Ryan Lilly. He is a program director at the Research Park at Florida Atlantic University. Ryan, welcome to The Commons.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I know it's going to be kind of loud as we're in the middle of everything here at the Medical and Related Sciences, or known as MARS, here in Toronto. But talk to me a little bit about what you do and the programs you have there. I know you have an interesting one that facilitates international companies coming to your park, right?
We do, yes. It's called the Global Ventures Program at the Research Park at FAU. And there we serve second stage international companies that are coming into the research park.
Okay, so what's a second stage company?
So second stage companies are ones that have 10 or more employees and at least $1 million in established annual revenue.
Okay, so we're a little bit beyond a startup. We're kind of stepping up, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep, and we have 37 of those companies from 11 different countries.
Wow.
And when they come to us, we help them obviously connect with the university, but also to the U.S. market. We help them in sort of a business development sense make a lot of connections.
So what is it about FAU that makes you so appealing to international companies from all over? I might have guessed Washington, D.C. or New York or a city like that.
Sure. So we have a very diverse student population, a lot of diversity in South Florida. About a third of our companies are from Central and South America.
Okay.
So we recruit very heavily from there.
Yep. And a number of people have said South Florida really is the northernmost part, right, of Central America.
It is.
So you know, I know there's a lot of culture, there's a lot of music, there's a lot of finance from Central and South America that's in South Florida. Talk to me now about what's moving up. What kind of companies are you seeing coming in?
So we have a lot of companies in the area of healthcare.
Okay.
We have medical device. We have software related to healthcare. But really, we have a very wide array of companies and industries that are represented. We see fintech, we see AI, we see just a lot of different kinds of technology.
And when they come to you and come into the research park and want to engage with the university, how do you engage with them? What is it that they get from their association with FAU?
So many of our companies actually start out in a virtual program. So while they're in transition from their home country to Global Ventures, we start meeting with them virtually, making connections, and they're in that for about a year. And then they transition into our facility at the Research Park, in which they're in for about 2 years, before they then transition into the Research Park into a much larger space. So that's kind of the process. And really, it's about, helping them make connections. It's a lot of introducing them to business service providers. They're brand new to the U.S., okay. So they need, you know, accountants, attorneys, and all of those services. And again, really to industry connections as well. And so that's really what we specialize in.
Interesting. So, and where do they outgrow you at some point and become a stage three company, and do they go elsewhere, or are you able to capture that activity and scale them within your park?
That's the goal, is really to capture them and scale them within the park. And really it's a result of those connections that we make that they stay in our community. We really believe that those relationships tie them to our region and help them stay there long term.
Are there programs that you have that allow students internships, co-ops, and other experiential opportunities?
That is a big part of our value proposition, is access not only to the researchers but also to students. And so many of our companies do make use very early on from student interns.
Okay. How about funding? Is there any funding that they come seeking out of venture capital or other finance in South Florida?
So one thing that's really interesting is a lot of the companies having been to the second stage, mm-hmm. Have grown organically based on their revenues overseas.
Okay.
And so they're now entering the U.S. market based on that success. Some of them do still seek funding. But most of them are growing organically.
Okay, so any funding they might need would be a more traditional bank kind of funding rather than something in the venture.
That's correct, yeah. Some of them do seek venture capital, but again, most of it's traditional.
Do you have spin-outs from the university in the park?
We do, yes.
Okay.
We do. Yeah, we have several, and we have very active researchers who are coming into the park on a daily basis. So,
how about larger companies, right? Because I know there are a number of large companies in South Florida,
sure.
Many of them looking to try and locate next to universities. What kind of companies are you seeing coming to you?
Sure. So, within the park itself, we have larger companies like 4Ocean, ATG, some larger companies that's in the aerospace industry. Aerospace is big in Florida. We have a lot of companies that look to be not only in South Florida, but obviously associated with a research university like ourselves.
Now, aerospace is also big at FAU, isn't it? And
it is, yes.
If I remember right, it has a connection directly to the research park.
It does, yes. Yeah. And the other area also is marine and ocean engineering,
okay.
Which is a major strength of the school as well.
So talk a little bit about the park. Frame up the location for me.
Sure. So the park is in Boca Raton, which is the geographic center of South Florida. If you drew a line from Miami to Jupiter, it's right in the middle.
Okay.
And we have there are 70 acres and 12 different buildings. Mm-hmm. The park was created in 1985, so it's well established, it's a great park. We've had a lot of activity, nearly full occupancy, and a lot of exciting things happening there.
Do you have a central hub, a gathering and programming space? I think I remember there were a number of buildings, but in the ways it felt very bucolic, and that central gathering place I know was something you guys have been planning for some time.
Yes, so Global Ventures right now really is that gathering place.
Okay.
That's a 14,000 square foot building that our second stage companies occupy. And we really host a lot of workshops there and trainings. Since COVID, a lot of those have come back in person.
Okay.
And it's really been that place of community.
Are you seeing the activity coming back now in person?
We are, absolutely. Yeah. People want to be in person again. They love that in-person interaction, and as much as possible, we try to make that happen.
Wonderful, wonderful. Talk to me a little bit about the university. So
sure.
What's happening at the university these days that might be driving continued expansion of the park?
Sure. So a growing student population. We have over 30,000 students at the moment. Research expenditures are around $80 million,
okay.
on their way to $100 million in R1 status.
Yep.
We've got a very active engineering school, in particular a department called iSense, which deals with sensors and smart systems and
okay.
AI.
Uh-huh.
And that's really driving a lot of growth right now as well.
Okay. And AI is really finding its way into healthcare quite a bit as well. We're sitting here in medical and related sciences. Across the street, the University of Toronto is building the Schwartz-Reisman Center, which is dedicated to AI, and they put it here on purpose, hoping that we'd see more of that interaction. Are you seeing that?
We are, yes. We just recently had a new dean appointed to our medical school. And already we've begun discussing, how AI is going to tie into the future of healthcare. There's a lot of exciting things happening there.
How about engineering? Engineering and healthcare are bumping into each other quite a bit too, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mentioned, that we have medical device companies at the park, and we see that interaction all the time.
Sensors as well. I know in a lot of cities I go to, aerospace and healthcare are trying to come together, right? There's nothing that carries more sensors than a modern jetliner.
Sure.
And they're trying to figure out how this helps human performance, whether it's in wearables or other kinds of elements that we may have in the future in our home that enables telemedicine and other platforms that really came into their own during COVID.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have one company in Global Ventures called AventuSoft that makes a product for people who have recently had open heart surgery. And it's I guess you could call it a wearable. It's an external device where as people are in recovery, they're able to monitor their heart health, and that obviously communicates to their doctor as well. So, a great example of, again, as a health-related sensor that is in use.
It's amazing the kinds of things that are really coming to the forefront today, even what we can do with our watches, right?
Absolutely. So
where do you see the future of the park going?
So we just recently had some new ownership come into the park.
Okay.
A local development group came in and purchased much of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're excited for some renovations and some changes that are going to be happening there.
Okay.
And look forward to obviously continuing to expand and grow the Global Ventures program and serve even more of the second stage clients.
So will there be new buildings coming or new programs that will allow you to grow from your, I think you said, 37 companies?
Yeah, so I don't think there's any new buildings planned in the near future, but really just a renovation and a refresh of the buildings that are there currently. And then obviously, program expansion. We're quickly outgrowing our space in Global Ventures. We're full occupancy right now. So there is potential to expand that as well.
Okay. Do you help U.S.-based companies look for markets overseas as well?
We do, yes.
Okay.
And I should mention that, we have companies within Global Ventures that are U.S.-based companies. So we don't work exclusively with international companies. And we help them in their second stage development as well. We work closely with an organization we have in Florida called GrowFL, which is dedicated to second stage company growth. They work with also something called the Edward Lowe Foundation.
Yeah, sure.
Which is all about second stage growth as well. Yeah. So it's really exciting because I don't think until recently there's been this focus on second stage companies. A lot of a lot of work has been done with early stage startups, but people are now starting to see the value that second stage companies create and provide in there.
What's the success rate of a second stage company, i.e., versus what it is right for an early stage?
That's
company?
A great question. I don't have an exact number on that. My guess would be obviously that it would be much higher because you're dealing with companies that have a market validated product. They have established revenues, so in some sense they're already successful.
Right.
So in all likelihood they're going to continue that upward growth trajectory.
Okay. How's the conference been so far? I know it's just kind of started with the new member breakfast and
sure.
a couple other things. How are you enjoying it so far?
I love it. This is my first AURP conference.
Okay.
I've been in this field now for about 12 years, not always on a Research Park campus. I've been sort of in the business incubation space.
Okay.
I actually started 12 years ago on the Research Park campus at Virginia Tech
when
I was a student.
The CRC.
Yeah. And I did an internship there my senior year at Tech and just love being around, the environment of a Research Park and being around entrepreneurs. And I knew
that's where the days of Joe Meredith?
Joe Meredith,
yeah,
yes.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And so I knew that as soon as I graduated, I wanted to do something like that as a career. And so I moved to Illinois, of all places. I was willing to move wherever I could in order to find something in that field. I ran an incubator in Illinois and an entrepreneurship program there for 3 years that was focused on manufacturing.
Okay.
Wasn't part of a research park. It was a standalone incubator. And then moved to Florida 9 years ago. So up until just 4 months ago when I joined the research park at FAU, I was working in North Florida for a chamber economic development organization, a chamber EDC in one, running an incubator there.
Wow. Okay.
So that's been my experience, mostly in incubation, but it feels good. It feels like being home again to return to a research park campus and to be working, connecting academia to industry. It feels like coming full circle again.
I would say you're bringing a wealth of experience that you've gathered all along the way.
Absolutely.
So I always end with not a trick question, but hopefully a challenging question. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given in that journey of yours?
The best piece of advice I think I've ever been given is that it's about listening to the needs of the clients that we're serving. When I first started out in this field, I would learn about all the programs and all the different offerings that we had to serve entrepreneurs. And then I would have a meeting with them and I would just start spouting off all these ways that we could help them. And what I quickly realized was the importance of just spending, you know, 80% of my time listening to their needs and really trying to hear what it is that, you know, what resources they need access to, and then responding based on that. And so, listening is key. I think obviously part going along with that, it's about connections. It's about, you know, connecting them to the people who can help them. It's not that I always have to have the right answer or that I'll always have the perfect piece of advice. Usually I don't. But it's about knowing who that subject matter expert is to connect them to within the ecosystem.
You know, that's so much about what innovation districts and research parks are all about, places where people cluster and then connect. And they need folks like you who can connect one to another, people to resources. And so it very much is that. It's one of the things I enjoy about doing the Commons. I get to sit on this side and listen to folks like you really talking about where your passion has taken you and the great impact that you're having across the country. So, Ryan, thank you so much for being my guest this morning. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
My guest this morning is Ryan Lilly. He is a program director at Global Ventures at Florida Atlantic University. This is The Commons, and we're coming to you from AURP 2022, Toronto, Canada. The Commons is a production of Wexford Science and Technology, LLC. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests. To view additional material about today's episode or guest, submit questions or story ideas, or to learn more about Wexford Science and Technology, please visit www.wexfordscitech.com/insights. You can subscribe to The Commons on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I'm your host, Tom Osha. Thank you for listening.